Morning, everybody. How you doing? What a great day it is, isn't it? Just nice outside, a little warm, but it's nice and cool in here. Loving it. Got to see Pastor. He's pretty good. He's got a ways to go, but, you know, he's around. See, is Kim here? Where'd she go? I can't see her yet. Thank you. Yeah, she's over there gabbing. That's good. Did you have a good week? Okay, let's see. We're going to start today with 663. And let's stand, please. 663.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is right, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing, O Savior, today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love, tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Someone today, give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless helper in need. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Lord of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, say.
Here we go. Father, thank you for getting us here today, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come here to worship you. Thanks for those who made it out, Lord, keeping us safe the past week. All that you do for us, Lord. We pray for our nation, Lord. We know the trouble it's in. I just pray, Lord, that our leaders might turn to you, Lord, for the answers they need in guiding this nation, because they're certainly not paying attention. Be with us, Lord, as we study today. Brother Erickson's come in, Lord, and I just ask you, guide him, direct him, give him the power he needs, Lord, as he speaks today. I just pray that his message will fall upon ears who really need to hear it. and just be with us, Lord. Help us to remember to fellowship, to shake a hand, give a hug, whatever, Lord. Just be there to uplift someone here today. Thank you so much for this time. Be with our pastor, Lord, especially. Thanks, Lord, for getting Kim here today. Just be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Go ahead, Kim. You want to come up? Thank you. Let's see. We're going right into announcements today. We'll skip down to another one later. Here we go. Tonight, make sure you come back for our evening service at 6 o'clock. We'll figure out something here. Personal evangelism is on the 6th and the 20th. But is it canceled, Doug? Personal evangelism? For now, it is. I'm sorry. See, I'm going to skip down to the men's Bible study. It's changed to Tuesdays at 6:30 in the evening. Doug might have a brief thing on that when he comes up here. Let's see. Wednesday night offerings are going to be going to the youth group fund. Make sure of that when you come here for our Bible study on Wednesday night. And our prayer service, the 22nd of September, is our morning service down here at Drake Park, so don't forget that. Got a little paragraph to read here. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God never said that the journey would be easy. But he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. God will meet you where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. God's work done in God's way will never lack because he supplies. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day. Another day of life, Lord, an opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for Kim coming up, just addressing the situation, Lord, letting us all know what things are going on. Just guide and direct, Lord. Help John through this that you might heal him, Lord, and get him back and walking again. Be with us now, Lord, as you take us off and just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. 378, please. 378.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Thank you. Doug's going to play for us.
Morning, everyone. First off, I'm going to share what Lonnie shared about changing the men's Bible study time. We're going to try Tuesday evenings at 6:30. I know Saturdays, especially this time of year, a lot of people have family events, and men, you know, tend to have projects they like to tackle on the weekend. So we're thinking about might be a little more convenient possibly to have it during the week. So 6:30 Tuesday evenings, and we'll have a different approach. We might have a couple things to do differently. So I think that'll be healthy for all concerned. I'm going to sing this morning, The Haven of Rest. Wow, we've had a lot of stuff happen, right? Events, and it's been quite a summer of turmoil in our nation, and all our families, you know, and are concerned about things, and it's tough in the busy time of summer, you know, to get everything in, and the Lord, he gives us that comfort. He gives us protection, doesn't he? We need that harbor. We need that safe haven, you know, to put our ship in for protection against the storms of life. And I know individually, not just as individuals, but God as a group and as a church and a Christian family, you know, he protects in that way also. He has more than enough resources to give us what we need during the trials of life. So the haven of rest. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered that haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to His tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the Word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story of old, of Jesus who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. We have the pleasure of Mr. Erickson going to speak for us here today. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. Of course, I wish nothing had happened to John, but John called me this week. We got a little time of sharing. I've certainly been praying for him, as you are, and we know that God is in control. God provides, and so we're waiting upon Him for John's well-being. You know, there's so many things in life, and I feel... This morning, just being here, and I was reminded, in my introduction, I'm sharing a little bit about my grandpa, but we sang Now I Belong to Jesus this morning, and that took me back many, many years to a time when grandpa was preaching. My little sister sang Now I Belong to Jesus after she put her faith in Christ, and I played the piano for her, and again, what a precious memory. And even now, today, I've recently learned that she's struggling with early onset Alzheimer's. So I pray that God meets her needs as well. Let's pray this morning, and then we're going to look into God's Word. Okay, Father, again, we thank You for today. You are an incredible God. You're a faithful God. And again, I just pray that You would open our eyes this morning, open our hearts, help us to see what You would have us see today. We live in dark days, days when we're surrounded by people that need Jesus. And again, I just pray that we might be the light that they need, that we might follow Your word and follow, again, what You want for us and follow Your will day by day. And so we thank You for that. And we just, again, give this service to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there's one other thing I need to note. And that is that four weeks ago yesterday, Rose and I had a wedding ceremony, and we're excited about that. God's so good. Let me just give you a little insight into the faithfulness of our God. Again, God has provided, I think I may have shared it with you last time, but both of us were faithfully married to our spouses for 48 years. And each of our spouses had an illness that ended up taking their lives. Rose's has been gone for over 4 years and mine over six. But God brought us together, and we're seeking to follow Him each day as we live together. One of the things that as we approached our wedding ceremony, we were very intentionally focused that God would be honored. And so we purposely shared our testimonies. We shared what God had done in our lives and how God had brought us together, because people are always asking, where did you meet? What do you think? Church? I was filling in at her church. So anyway, but God is so good, and after we shared that and shared again how God worked and how important it is to have that personal walk with Jesus, a family member approached Rose after at the reception and said, I really want to talk to you and Daryl, because I believe there's a God, or I believe in God, but I want to know more. I want to walk with him. So, again, that's our purpose, and that should be all of our purposes. If we know Jesus, we should seek to be the light that he wants us to be. So, you know, I'll never forget as a young man observing what my grandfather went through. He had gone to the hospital for an eye checkup, and actually eye surgery. He had had a checkup, but he had eye surgery, and he ended up blind. Now, I know they've progressed a lot in the field of ophthalmology, and maybe if he had that surgery today, it might have had a different outcome. But what a change that was for my grandfather. All of a sudden, for him, everything was dark. He had to be led around. He could no longer read his Bible. Listen, this was devastating for a man who believed that God had called him to be a preacher. Now, I know some of you might have a hard time catching up with this, but my grandfather was literally a traveling evangelist to Lutheran churches. People came to faith in Christ. And again, I look back at that. But as a result of the blindness, Grandpa had to depend either on his memory or else somebody would have to read the word before he preached. And so, again, it was quite an experience, and I'll never forget. But I look at that, and I think about that, and Grandpa's blindness, and everything became dark to him. Folks, we live in a dark world. And, oh, we can still see with our eyes, but there are a lot of people who lack the vision when it comes to spiritual and cultural understanding. People are so blind to what is happening today. With so many people today, they find it hard to acknowledge God. America is filled with crime, shootings, stabbings, looting, lies, people in authority lying to us, propagandizing. Our world is filled with hate, religious, relational, family hate. That's devastating. Murder in the workplace, in schools, in streets, in neighborhoods. Breakdown of the family. Do you understand the absence of fathers in the home? Recently, I learned that 3 out of 4 children in black homes are growing up without a dad. 4 out of 10 children in white homes are growing up without a dad. And that, folks, is a leading factor in crime and behavioral issues. We also have perversions of God's design and other forms of evil. I don't know what your reaction was, and I didn't watch all of it. I've seen clips of it. But so many people across our country and around the world watch the Olympics whenever the Olympics come around. Do you know how it began? With a perversion of the Lord's Supper featuring drag queens. Listen, church, our kids don't need to be exposed to that. People don't need to see that. That's blasphemy. And it was pathetic. Also, a while back, there was a particularly dark day in front of the White House. They held a pride event. There was a bizarre display of this government-approved sinful lifestyle that our Creator has clearly addressed in the Bible. He addresses it in Romans 1. He addresses it in Proverbs 16:18. And as I saw the reports, God reminded me, Judgment Day is coming. It is. I'd like to have you open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to begin with verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Listen, our culture, our leaders, our media is lying to us by telling us that that lifestyle is normal. It's a lie. There is hope in redemption, though, if these folks would turn to Jesus Christ. Look at 11, verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." Folks, there's hope. There's hope. People need to see Jesus. So this morning, you know, America for years has been a nation of hope and a light to the world, but things have changed. And we are now facing dark, uncertain days here in America as propaganda is being spread and people are believing it. So this morning I want to ask three questions. Where can we find the light to overcome the darkness? A couple months ago, I was out on my daily early morning walk, and I looked down, and I was walking in a parking lot, and there in front of me was a ring. I picked it up, took a look at it. It was not an expensive ring, but it had a message on the inside. And the message said, "You are my sunshine." The ring was bent. It didn't look good. I couldn't help but wonder, was it discarded because a friendship relationship was broken, causing the sunshine to be taken away? That's what I was wondering. One morning, Jesus had been to the Mount of Olives, and he went to the temple. People would often gather at the temple to listen to Jesus speak. And after dealing with the woman who had been caught in adultery, I want you to notice what Jesus said next. So turn with me back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. All right, and we're going to look at verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This is the second of Jesus' statements where he said, "I am." And this time he says, "I am the light." By the way, does anybody remember the first one? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," okay, in John chapter 2. So, I'm sorry, John 6:35. So here Jesus is comparing himself, in effect, to the sun. Essentially, the sun is the life and light of the world. Look at, turn back further to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Begins the very first verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So what do we find? John reminds us that God is the true source of light. It's only his light that can overcome darkness. And in the verses that follow, we're introduced to John the Baptist, whose life and teachings were so much like Jesus that there were occasions when people would think he was Jesus. So look at verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men may, through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So I want you to stop and think about yourself this morning. Do people clearly see Jesus in you? Do they? Do they see him in your life? Do they see him in your words? In knowing that Jesus is the only source of light to overcome darkness, let's ask a second question. And that question is, why is there so much darkness in our world today? Well, in John chapter 3, we read about Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Then in John 3:16, we read about God's love for mankind being such that God sent his only Son to die so we could be given that gift of eternal life. And when it came to receiving that gift, there was a problem which Jesus explained by saying that darkened minds and sin-blinded men could not because they would not. They would not come into light when it was offered to them. I was watching a video. We were watching a video a few days ago. And I was reminded of what it was like back in the days of Noah. Remember Noah built that ark? 120 years, I'm sorry. It had never rained. They didn't know what rain was. They had never seen rivers overflowing, no flooding. But God gave Noah a message, and Noah obeyed God. But in this video, they had a little conversation between Noah and his brother. His brother didn't want to fully follow God. He wanted part of the world. So he was chasing that. He was torn. And he wasn't willing to put his trust in Jesus. And I remember seeing that production years ago. And it was just heart-wrenching. When it came time that God brought the animals to the ark, God brought Noah and his family in the ark, God closed the door. And in that presentation, they showed people knocking on the walls, the outside of the ark, wanting to get in. To no avail. It's too late. They had their choices had sealed their fate. So again, just remember this, that men love darkness. It's right there in verse 19 of chapter 3. Rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Do you get that? They wouldn't come to the light. So we can rightfully call that rebellion towards God, can't we? If they refuse to obey? If they refuse to come? You know, there's a county to the east of us in a neighboring state that is known for its promotion of freedom from religion. And now, they're showing that darkness in even a greater way by becoming a sanctuary for trans kids. If you're not familiar with that, that's Madison, Wisconsin, Dane County. They've been touting that freedom from religion for years, and it's really sad. So what that means is that kids can have access to trans drugs. Because they declared it that way. Listen, church, your kids, your grandkids, face unbelievable indoctrination and assaults on their faith in schools today. One school district recently banned the Bible. Another school is forcing kids to make idols in class and participate in pagan rituals. There was a teen girl who was forced to read a pornographic monologue in front of her teacher and classmates. Another student had a cross necklace confiscated by her teacher. Listen, what I'm sharing with you is absolutely true. From Christian lawyers, they know. They've defended these situations. Christian kids on a school trip were kicked out of a federal museum for wearing pro-life hats. Parents are threat-labeled as terrorists for standing up for their kids before school boards. And now the Biden Department of Education just issued new rules to remove key protections for students' religious liberty. So their rights are being taken away. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to his church at Corinth, made a clear analogy of our becoming a new creation of Christ compared to being a creation to the creation of the world. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the world and us as humans were initially born in darkness. Our darkness was spiritual in that we were born with a sin nature. While the world was physically dark, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, so God created physical light to divide the darkness. Genesis 1, 3 through 5. And this being the reality, let's go back to Jesus' claim. What did Jesus say? He said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is telling us that he divides the darkness in our hearts with his spiritual light. Jesus is the one who created the sun, and even now he sustains it. It's life-giving radiations. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So, again, as we think about this question about why is there so much darkness in our world today, I've got a question for you. Have you sensed a spiritual battle in your soul between the old sin nature and your new nature, which Christ gave you? Have you sensed that battle? It's real. It's real. Living for Christ in a dark world isn't easy. So I want you to stop and think about this. If you feel the darkness closing in on you, stop focusing on the flesh and feed your spirit. Read the Bible. That's what we need to do. So our third question this morning is this. So how should I respond to the light? Well, earlier we focused on John 8:12, where Jesus says he's the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will follow the light. What did Jesus mean when he says, "He that follows me will never walk in darkness"? Because we should be following Jesus, the light. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." That's what God wants us to do. You go back to the Old Testament. What does it tell us about Enoch? He walked with God. What does it tell us about Noah? Noah walked with God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verses 5 through 7. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's God's desire of those of us who know Christ personally? What do you think it is? Well, his word tells us, gives us many examples. In 1 John 1:7, which we just read, we're to walk in the light. Colossians 4:5 says that we're to walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5:2 says to walk in love. Romans 6:4 says that we're to walk in the newness of life. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. 3 John verse 4, walk in the truth. Ephesians 2:10, walk in good works. And God also tells us what we're not to do. We're not to walk according to the course of this world. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It also says that we're not to walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. It's Ephesians 4:17. So, amidst all the darkness, I want you to know that there is some good news out there. We appreciate that, don't we? I believe this was last year or maybe the year before that. But the Oklahoma Sooners women's softball team played for the championship. The players gained national attention for their message of faith during their successful season. Some players were vocal about their strategy prior to winning the Women's College World Series title, crediting their faith as a basis for continued joy and perseverance through the season. One of the players, Alyssa, said this, "I think a huge thing that we've really just latched onto is eyes up. And you guys see us doing this and pointing out, but we're really fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ." Thankfully, another one said, "We've had a lot of success this year, but if it was the other way around, joy from the Lord is the only thing that can keep you embracing those memories, moments, and friendships." That was her witness. So when we look to the future, just remember, they were talking earlier about Moscow Church studying Revelation. Revelation 21:25. There's going to be no night there. Imagine that. It'll be the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus will be the light. In fact, in Revelation 21:24, it says, "We will walk in the light of it, and having been made like him, for we shall see him as he is." So what do we do? We've got to seek to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on what his will is for us. There was a song that as I walk sometimes, I would play this song just as a reminder. Simply entitled, "Not My Will, But Thine Be Done." And the words say this, "When my pathway is dark and my heart is so weary, if I seek for an easier way, if I worry because my load gets so heavy, make me willing to walk in thy way. Not my will, but thine be done," prayed Jesus. "May the same prayer be mine every day. When this robe of flesh that I wear makes me falter, guide my steps, hold my hand all the way. Guide my steps, hold my hand all the way." That's what we should be focused on. And as we seek to live for Jesus, I'm always concerned because there can be someone here today that doesn't know Jesus. And if you don't, I want you to come to know him. You know, it's so easy to take life for granted. Back in April, Rose and I took a trip to Wisconsin to a dinner theater. And there they had a Christian concert. And the group that shared with us that night, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of them. Their name is the Neelands, gospel singing group. Beautiful concert. Does anybody know what happened this week? The Neelands were flying from Nebraska to Wyoming on their way to get to a Bill Gaither cruise where they were going to be sharing their music. And that flight, 27,000 feet in the sky, their plane fell apart. All seven passengers perished. I've heard the Neelands' testimony, and they knew Jesus. So we know where they are. But what about you? May not be flying a plane. I've had close calls on the highway with other drivers. Are you ready? Have you put your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Can you sing truthfully that song that we sang earlier? Now I belong to Jesus? Is that your testimony? Do you belong to Him? I pray so. And if you haven't, I want to encourage you to trust Him today. You need the light in your life in this dark world. And so, again, go to Jesus in prayer. Acknowledge your sin. Thank Jesus for going to that cross and dying for you. And put your trust in Him. Receive that gift of eternal life that He wants to give you. Let's pray. Father, again this morning, we just thank You. You're a faithful God. You're a perfect God. A God who designed an incredible way for us to be a part of Your family. You didn't leave us as orphans. You gave a way for us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, become a part of Your eternal forever family, and we can even know what our future holds. And that if something happens to us, we will be with Jesus Christ in heaven, as the Neelands would testify to. And that's their experience. Father, again, life is uncertain. It seems like we're being pressured and pushed by all kinds of darkness today. But help us to be in Your Word. Help us to be walking in the light, following the example set by Your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's take our books, and we're going to close this morning with hymn number 57. And even God's children have challenges in their life, and maybe there's something you need to get right with Him today. I'd encourage you to do that as well. Let's stand and sing together 57.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from sin and set me free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word and make it whole from within. Fill me with fire where once once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name.
If you look at the words we've been singing, we're asking God to search our hearts. Help us see what we're really like. Are we really living for Him? Are we really walking with Him? Or do we even know Him today? Again, if God's worked in your heart, maybe you just need to come down and pray and ask God to cleanse you of something. Whatever is heavy on your heart. Maybe it's somebody, if you don't know Jesus, come down here and I'd love to share with you how you can become part of God's family today. Let's sing the rest of the song. We're giving God the opportunity, asking Him to take our life, make it wholly His. And and revival comes from God within us. Okay, let's sing verse 3 and 4.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, as we leave this morning, I just pray that we would have a renewed passion to walk with the Savior day by day. Let's pray that we'd be more conscious of our lives. The fact that people are watching us. They're watching to see what we do and what we're like and if our words match our life. Father, help us to be what You want us to be. Help us to follow Your perfect will for us. And Father, again, I just want to pray for Pastor John and Kim as she cares for him. I just pray that You would meet each need and heal as only You can heal. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.